Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we're going to be going through four robot cop movies.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And well, look, we're doing this for two reasons. One, because RoboCop Rogue City, the video game, is coming out.
That's right.
And two, at least one of these movies is really good.
I can't wait to get to it. The one where he's got the jetpack.
That's right.
I always said from day one, yeah, why doesn't this guy have a jetpack?
Right, for jetting about.
Okay, I've got a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
For one, I would love everybody to leave a like on this video.
Mm-hmm. And I've bitches got a leave a like on this video.
That's right. And I've got another confession to make, Mason.
Well, is this a confession that would cause RoboCop to, like, apprehend you and or shoot you in the nuts?
It's let's see.
He's going to shoot you in the nuts.
I'll leave a poll below.
Okay. He doesn't leave a poll below. Because he shoots you in the nuts.
He shoots you in the nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that scene also. People will probably want us to mention
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
The remake. But as a kid, I was more of a Terminator person.
Okay.
Like, I watched those first two movies again and again.
So that's how you would introduce yourself at, like, after-school events. Hi, I'm a Terminator person.
I actually think Terminator 1 is better than Terminator 2.
Not a lot of people think that. Your brother thinks that.
Yeah, well, he's wrong. Or he's right. They're both pretty good, actually.
Your brothers? No, only one's good. Only one's good.
I did not say that. So I came to this when I was a little bit older, like in my teens. But what an incredible movie.
I was going to say I was first introduced to this via trading cards.
Oh, let's
talk about
that.
Because I had the RoboCop trading cards. From Tops, you'd get the cards and the bubble gum.
Yeah.
Very normal trading cards.
Very normal.
Outlined all the stuff in the movie. Just a man getting his arms and legs shot off.
Well, there's also the one where the guy who's been melted by toxic waste.
Yes.
That's a trading card.
Yeah.
This was in the era, and we see this series go in that direction, where they would release something like this, and they'd also just be a bunch of toys for kids.
Yeah.
There wasn't really the kind of G to PG action franchises, the way that there more is kind of now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was really... That element of there was a movie and it was violent and grown up, but it sort of had that sci-fi aspect to it, and like older kids would maybe show it to younger kids, or like, you know, your parents would watch it and then you would see it. In my case, I saw it at the local video shop and I said, "Dad, I'm 9 years old. Can we rent this?" And he went, "Sure, I guess." And I watched it.
And you watched
it.
And
it wrecked my brain, James.
I bet it did.
This is why I'm like this.
Did you love the moment where after the guy gets all melted, he gets hit by the car and he just sloshes apart?
Absolutely.
Like his skin was barely holding him together.
His head comes off like a balloon. It's incredible. And you know what? The absolute restraint of both director Paul Verhoeven and the actor Kurtwood Smith, he does not turn on the windscreen wipers. He could. They would now, but he didn't then.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, this movie should really be called Squibs and Stop Motion.
Because
this is where it's at, man.
Yeah, that's right. My goodness.
The practical effects in this, and I know stop motion isn't technically practical in the sense that it's a series of still images.
Oh.
Yeah, structured in a way that makes it look like that it's moving, Mason. But my goodness, like, just the level of squibbing in this, so excessive in the best kind of way. Apparently they toned down that boardroom scene. Like, it was more squibbing. I think it's in like the extended one or whatever, even. But
40 minutes of a man getting riddled with bullets. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you noticed this.
Go on.
And not a lot of people do pick up on this. Let me know in the comments. But there's actually a bunch of real world parallels in this, Mason.
What?
Yeah.
So this isn't just pure fantasy.
It's actually, there's a tinge of satire running through this.
Is that the term for this?
Yeah.
Cue all the comments saying, no, there isn't. It's a real common thread among Paul Verhoeven movies. Just people going, no, it's just, I think that those men wearing all the all black uniforms with the insignia on them and fighting the bugs. I don't think that's a metaphor for anything.
No, it's nothing.
It's just normal.
It's just killing bugs. You never killed a bug? It's like that. Yeah. But they're bigger. The bigger bugs. I mean, I know it's been talked about that this kind of predicted the future of news, but news was kind of like this at the time anyway. I mean, it's worse now, but just the idea of this just scattershot nightmare of information.
Yeah, all delivered with a smile. Yeah. It's actually quite quaint. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of this, look, I love this movie. I think most of it has aged really, really well. And I think the satire, you were calling it? Is that what this is? This satire?
That's what some say.
Interesting.
I didn't see any.
I think it definitely still holds up, but I do feel like some elements of it are a little bit quaint. One is that I feel like the news stuff of like, give us 3 minutes, we'll give you the world. I'm like, that's actually quite a lot these days. And also my favorite aspect, I think, that hasn't aged well is if we can jump right to the end, it's the point where RoboCop goes to the boardroom, the OCP boardroom, and he shows the OCP executives the evidence of Dick Jones admitting to killing Bob Morton, and Dick Jones immediately grabs a gun and takes a hostage. And I feel like in the present day, you could show someone irrefutable evidence of an executive admitting to a murder, and like, you go, "That wasn't me."
Yeah, exactly.
And if it was me, you guys probably on my side actually. So, and it was photoshopped, and that guy was an actor, but it's not me. And you'll hear from my lawyers, and I'm rich, so nothing will happen to me.
You're actually going to jail.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're going to jail for unauthorized use of our audio video system. So,
absolutely, I do love though. This is a world where it happens twice in this. Board members are gunned down in front of people, and everyone's just like, "Well." Get in the elevator. Miguel Ferrer is just like, I think this is my opportunity,
right?
There's a window here for me.
Yeah.
Not to fall out of.
No.
But to take a step up and then be tortured at home. But yeah, just the ineffective police force, corporate decision-making, just ruining communities.
The fact that Ed 209 sucks.
I love
like
that
the fact
much.
That there's no real confrontation between RoboCop and Ed 209 at the end. Because Ed 209 sucks, he's been deliberately made badly.
Yeah.
He's like a puppy that's been kicked too many times. or a puppy that's been inbred.
Yeah.
Like for too long, so he can't go up and down stairs. Or like, because they're like, well, you know what? We'll sell this to everybody and it won't work. Mm. But they're locked in a contract, so they'll have to upgrade.
And we'll figure it out.
We'll make some extra billions off this.
Yeah.
You know?
Just the idea of having one of these out on the street and just doing anything. I love that. And I wish we could actually see it. And I know they circle back to this in the remake, which we'll come back to in a few weeks. But yeah, just incredible. And what an amazing piece of special effect as well. Piece of special effect?
A wonderful piece of special effect.
Yeah.
We should give it our coveted piece of special effect award. But yeah, I'm sure I've been critical of stop motion in the past, but it's got that Ray Harryhausen vibe,
I've seen videos where people have like smoothed out the stop motion, and I think it makes it worse. I think there is something about the kind of the mechanical nature of its movements which help this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though you think it's bad. Is that what you said?
I did say that,
or you don't get it?
I'm giving it our coveted worst of special effect award.
Whoa!
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, RoboCop himself... The reveal of that character I love. Like, it's a slow reveal because you're given time to kind of really sit in the horror and also the joy that people have in putting this monstrosity together.
Absolutely. And the reveal essentially goes over the entire movie because we never even really see what he looks like until the start of the third act when he's, trapped in the industrial district and he finally takes the helmet off and you see what he has become.
Yeah.
And Peter Weller is the... He's the perfect RoboCop.
Incredible.
Many have tried to replicate it, and they've done the best they can. But man, he projects the humanity when he's in the robot form, and like when he's just Alex Murphy, he's not a gung-ho Superman. He's just a guy who's there to do a job, and I really like that.
He's an okay cop.
That's right. It's pretty
maybe. We don't really know.
We don't really know because we see him do cop stuff for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it doesn't go well.
But here's the thing though, because this is something I only picked up on this rewatch. But I guess it was obvious. It's been obvious at the time that he gets transferred to Detroit, and then Bob Morton points out later that they've been moving people around, suitable candidates for the RoboCop program.
Yeah.
So they moved him there because they knew sooner or later he'd get killed and he'd be the perfect person to put in the suit.
They've got 809 people just running about, just and they're just rubbing their hands, just waiting. Right. Yeah,
that guy with the mustache who's always wants to go on strike. Yeah. He's probably one. He was probably number one candidate for RoboCop,
definitely.
But he just wouldn't die.
He probably died the next day.
That's right. Well, chuck him in a bin, I guess.
So when in full RoboCop costume, apparently Peter Weller would remain in character between takes, and he would only respond to instructions from director Paul Verhoeven when he was addressed as Robo. Apparently Verhoeven, though, found this too funny, and then he just dropped it after a couple of weeks.
All right, okay.
Also, I feel like Robo as a nickname, it doesn't
really work, yeah.
It doesn't work, do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah. Robo is better.
Robo's way better. Mm. Apparently also, people know this, he was just dying in the suit.
Yeah.
It was between $500,000 to $1 million for the suit to, you know, to get it from its inception to where it was. Uh-huh. It went through like a Judge Dredd kind of phase at one point where it just looked like Judge Dredd.
Oh, interesting. Well, I was going to say, the one thing that I love is in rewatching this, I've also been watching on YouTube a bunch of interview and Comic-Con stuff with Peter Weller.
Yeah.
He comes out and he's very nice and he answers a lot of questions. And then he'll often meet fans, many of whom have built their own 3D printed RoboCop suits. And I bet he's like, damn, that looks light. That looks light and airy.
Probably just in and out of that, I reckon.
Yeah. Almost certainly has a zip off to pee, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, he was losing 3 pounds a day in water weight and the first fitting took 11 hours. And you can see that especially when the mask comes off and the way it just looks like his head is sewn into that thing.
Yeah.
And I know it's not literally. They make it look like there's negative space where they've chipped parts out of him.
Mm.
And all this mime work that he did beforehand, he based it more on kind of snake-like movements.
Right.
It's like, I can't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do this. So he had to learn to move again. And I mean, talking about things that I don't think anybody's really nailed since, the movement
Absolutely,
that he does.
Yeah.
And it's not an over-the-top robot, is it?
No.
Like little head turns, the way he'll take a corner, just little things, really subtle.
He'll drink some oil.
He'll drink some oil.
You know?
Yeah.
He'll kiss an electrical socket, so on and so forth.
I just think the way it all comes together, Rob Bottin designed this, but, you know, his performance, every reaction he has, the sound design, the leg holster.
Oh, incredible. Yep. The data spike.
Yeah.
As soon as that comes out in the movie, that's Chekhov's data spike. You know somebody's going to cop that right in the neck by the end, and they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like that he's not really built for good, and sometimes he's just not doing good. There's a moment where he wrecks a convenience store. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The money those criminals would have taken is not worth what you did to this store.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, amazing.
Also, did you know this fun fact? The RoboCop gun and the Judge Dredd gun from Judge Dredd, same gun.
Same gun, different attachments?
That's correct, yeah.
Wait, which Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd.
Stallone Judge Dredd,
yeah.
We've looked at both of those movies.
That's right.
And not only that, we did videos on them. Mm. Mm. Okay. There's one thing I think we are in agreement on this movie.
Okay.
Something that doesn't hold up. It's the one thing.
It's stop motion or it's
It's
some
a puppet on green puppet screen.
It's puppet work. Yeah. It is really what it is. It's when RoboCop finally, when the old man fires Dick Jones,
yep.
And then it cancels out RoboCop's directive for that he can't arrest or otherwise riddle with bullets an OCP mm-hmm. employee, and he shoots Dick Jones a whole bunch of times, and yep. then he falls out a window.
That's all great.
Oh, that's all great.
Up until that point.
Oh, my God. There's the point where Bob Morton's buddy's like, yeah, get him, RoboCop. Yeah. I love that guy. I don't have the actor's name in front of me, but what an incredible performance from that guy.
It's on the screen.
Being a great buddy, and I love that.
Yeah.
But when Dick Jones falls out, he just becomes this. He's got Kermit arms is what happens yeah. with that guy. And I feel like, you know, we often get, you know, people like Corridor Crew, you know, amazing VFX guys yeah. will add some visual effects to some scenes or, like you said, smooth out the movement of Ed 209.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, like, shave off 6 inches from each of those arms, you
and
know?
It's the perfect movie.
That
being said, it's great. It's a great moment
because
it looks so weird.
Yeah. Also great. Nancy Allen is great as Lewis, at least in part because it's not a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Like they're just work buddies
yep.
for that 15 minutes before Murphy gets riddled with bullets.
Yeah, he gets
but
shot.
But, you know, she's competent. She's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
She recognizes who he is.
That's right. Mm. Kurtwood Smith, of course, as Clarence Boddicker with his little Heinrich Himmler little glasses. Just a perfect.
Does that mean anything?
No, I wouldn't think so. Nah. Just a weird future 1980s psycho with big slacks on.
Boy, does he.
Oh, those slacks are so big. Yeah.
Just complete disregard for everybody around him. Mm.
And his crew. Everybody.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Literally everybody. Yeah.
But I'm saying all those guys as well. Just like.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just great faces and just great reacts, you know.
Because we've talked about this before and you might see it in a car chase in, say, like a Marvel movie where it's all black SUVs and all the villains' henchmen are just kind of like guys that vaguely look the same, you know, tactical-ish.
And you sort of lose track of how many there are and who's who.
Whereas this,
yeah.
they all have their personalities
and their big hair. And their big slacks.
One of them melts.
Yep.
He melts, he gets melted.
Melty Emil, yep.
That's memorable.
Mm.
All of that.
Yeah.
You really just, there's effort in the little details.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. you don't need to do any of that. It could just be 4 guys in black t-shirts.
And it's interesting as well because, as I understand it, Paul Verhoeven passed on this script originally.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't get this.
No.
I don't get this.
I don't even think he read it. I think his wife read it.
Yeah, right.
And then was like, actually, there might be something going on here.
Yeah.
Might be something just under the surface.
Mm.
I don't know if that's true.
Paul, you could use some of your famous satire. And he's like, I won't be doing that. I do not believe in satire. I will not. That's not what I'm about, quite frankly.
He wasn't an action movie guy either, was he? Yeah.
No.
And I think bringing that kind of aesthetic to this works because it's approached in a way that movies kind of hadn't been.
Mm.
You know, this could have gone any number of ways. Bad.
Yep,
which we'll talk about in future releases, but did a great job. He did a great job directing the classic movie RoboCop that everybody loves, Mason.
That's right, he did.
Yeah. Do you know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
It's time for the section of the show where we do a little bit of trivia. This time it's called Trivia Cop.
I love that.
Thank you.
What about ATAB?
What?
Do you call it ATAB?
ATAB?
All trivia are bastards.
Okay. Peter Weller.
It's unrelated, though.
No.
It's unrelated.
All trivia is, this is a bastard to put together.
Yeah, I bet.
I watch a bunch of behind the scenes. A lot of it's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them just feel like promo. It's just promo. Being like, I love working on this movie. And I'm like, I don't believe you.
I don't care for that. This took me 11 hours to get in this suit and then I had to act. I thought they put me in the suit and I could go home.
Peter Weller only wore the top half of the RoboCop outfit and underwear in the car. Otherwise, he wouldn't fit. There are no complete shots of him getting out of the car. Similar to Batman 89, actually. In Sacramento, California, a robbery suspect, this is a true story, fled into a darkened movie theater to escape pursuing police. Sounds like the movie RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
He became so engrossed in the movie RoboCop, which was playing on the screen, that he failed to notice that the police had evacuated all the other patrons from the theater. When the lights flipped on, the stunned man was taken into custody.
When the lights flipped on, do you mean at the end of the movie?
Well, I was going to say, did he get to finish the movie?
It?
Yeah. Did he stay till the end of the credits?
The cops were like, no, no, let him.
Yeah, there might be something after the credits.
Let him have this before we take him out to the car park and beat him up.
Because the hands of the RoboCop suit were made from foam rubber, the car keys, in that scene where he catches the keys, would bounce off Peter Weller's hand every time he attempted to catch them. The production took up to 50 takes and an entire day's worth of filming before finally getting that shot right.
That's like that Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire took a million takes.
156.
156, yeah, yeah.
Other movies we've both watched and done videos on.
Had they considered just putting the keys in his hands and then reversing the shot?
No.
Okay.
They didn't, obviously. Yeah. They obviously didn't consider that.
Yeah,
Mason.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in that situation again, Paul and Peter, if you're ever in that situation again, might I recommend putting the keys in his hand and reversing the shot? I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
That's some free advice for you right there.
Also, like, Tobey Maguire caught an entire tray of food.
That's true.
It's more impressive. That's all I'm saying. Catching a set of keys. A dog could do that. Last bit of trivia, Mason.
A dog would love to do that.
Yeah, I know. Last bit of trivia. Two left. No, this is the last bit. I changed my mind again. Former President Richard Nixon was hired to promote the home video release for $25,000. He donated the money to the American Boys Club. Also, you're not going to believe what the American Boys Club have recently been in trouble for, Mason.
Is it using $25,000 for too much good?
No, it's bad.
Oh.
They did bad stuff.
That's
Mason.
A shame. That's a shame.
The suggested VHS sale price for the movie was $89.98.
Whoa.
They were expensive, weren't they?
Talk about a dystopian future. My goodness.
You're not wrong.
Wow.
My goodness.
Could build my own RoboCop for that.
You could.
Mm-hmm.
You should.
I will. I'm going
to. The box office for this, on a budget of $13.7 million, brought in $53.4 million.
Okay.
Which is exceptionally good, considering that it's obviously for a very specific audience.
Right, yes.
You know, certain age.
Mm.
But the biggest movies of that year were things like Three Men and a Baby and Fatal Attraction, which had similar budgets.
Mm.
But they brought in, one of them, $240 million and the other $320 million. But I guess the thing about those movies compared to this one was that this one has franchise and merchandise potential.
That is very true, yeah.
Because next week, of course, we're going to be coming back to RoboCop Number 2.
Have you seen RoboCop
2? Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Interesting. Irvin Kershner directed
that. He did.
The guy who directed Empire Strikes Back, for people who don't know.
He did.
Wild.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Which one?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
We'll talk about RoboCop. We'll have thoughts on RoboCop 2 next week.
Mm.
But in the meantime, if you do want to see that early, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co. Wait, guess what? You say what?
Well, okay. Didn't have to think.
No, you say, you just don't have to think. You say, what?
What?
You don't have to say anything funny or interesting.
What?
Unless you want to.
No. Nah.
Okay.
You've given me an out and I'm taking it. What?
The videos always get done early and they go up there by at least a day, often two. And in addition to that, there's bonus movie commentaries. There's video game Let's Plays. There's bonus podcasts.
That's right.
Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there Sunday as opposed to Monday. We talk the big movie news of the week, don't we, Mason?
Love big new movie news.
And you can love it too.
That's
with
right.
us. Or,
right.
or just be infuriated by it. Just be like, oh, why is this happening? Right. Why are they making this?
Yeah.
Whose idea? Why?
An algorithm.
Yeah, an algorithm probably.
The answer there. Yeah.
Or a lunatic at the head of something.
Yep.
And that's very on brand for something, but I just can't.
No, can't see it either.
Yeah. Mm. I wish movies meant something. Anyways.
Well, too bad.
Anyways, thanks everyone.
Thanks very much. Grab that gem, you guys. Oh, and also, now you're finished here, just go up to that search bar and type in RoboCop Fatal Farm, and you'll see the video of RoboCop shooting like 100 guys in the dick.
Yeah, and it's very explicit.
Oh, yeah.
You should know that going in.
It is not safe for work or anywhere.
All right. Thanks everyone, and thanks to Ben and Lawrence for the edit.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.